Bonjour, je suis Olivier Panis et vous m'écoutez, l'article est pour F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program.
I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 651, March 18th, 2014. Nasser?
Greetings. Game on in the park. Pretty boy Floyd is the gunslinger of the day. Danny Boy is shot down by the stewards. Rookies are rocking. And much, much more on this edition of F1 Weekly Podcast.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, was it fair for the FIA to punish innocent old Danny Boy? Vettel says the cars sound like vacuum cleaners. And at Williams, was it the car or was it Bottas? And of course, we've got Motorsports Mondial with the king of Karachi himself, Nasser Hamid. Nas, welcome to the studio and a happy belated St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you very much, sir. Great to see Formula One back in action. And I'm glad we did not see a Chernobyl-style meltdown of machines as many were expecting. Weather conditions dictated the unusual grid formation and a lot of talk about, you mentioned, the Hoover effect.
The Hoover effect.
On Formula One cars, the sound. I know it's important to some people. It's not important to some people. What say you, Mr. Rogers?
Well, not only do they sound like the Hoover effect, but they look like the Hoover effect, especially the Ferrari, which was, we commented on the vacuum-like front nose, similar to a Kirby.
This direction this Formula One is taking is really not, it's not, I can only speak for myself. It's not really giving me the frisson, which Formula One always did.
Yes.
That's what Formula One is all about.
In the past, the V10s, the flat 12s, the V12s, you got the chills, the excitement.
The tire wars.
The concussion of the pistons going up and down. This is disappearing with lots of tree hugging, minimal fuel delivery.
What nonsense, I swear.
I've no idea, but it was an interesting race. Mercedes certainly stepped up to the plate, as the pundits predicted.
They are the new Red Bulls.
They are the new Red Bull. But on the other hand, Red Bull,
yes,
was on the money, except for a few technical difficulties. I was very impressed with Red Bull coming out of the box, looking pretty good after all the despair and the anxiety of testing. And look at Toro Rosso.
Yes.
Outstanding job. And by the way, Renault Package. And there's no crying or whimpering over there.
Yes, let me tell you, Danny Boy, very impressive. And the way the car went and finished means we may be in for a German invasion by the Bahrain Grand Prix.
Exactly.
And Sebastian Vettel could be the new Desert Fox.
I'm telling you, even Rommel will be turning over in his grave.
Exactly.
To think that Red Bull would not be competitive would be a great mistake. Never underestimate your enemy, your foe.
Exactly. And, you know, they can go a few races and then launch.
Exactly. Launch.
Operation Barbarossa. In Bahrain.
Correct. No, I say Red Bull is going to be a threat this year. For me, the biggest disappointment is there is no threat from the Scuderia in Maranello.
Well, unless we have an Ethiopian Grand Prix, I don't see much scope there. But, you know, a lot of noise is being made about the noise.
I agree.
And I was there with Dr. Miguel in Jerez, and I noticed, and I think my final analysis was acceptable. Dr. Miguel said, who cares about the noise when the car is going at 150 miles per hour? So to each his own. What say you, sir?
You know what? I'm tired of saying, or let me put it this way, of capitulating to these new changes. I think we should rise up and fight. The revolution will be televised on NBC Sports Network. No, I am going to start complaining. I'm going to start writing letters. This is ridiculous. The moment a 747 touches down at Heathrow, it has spent so much fuel that it makes this whole charade look ridiculous. Why don't we talk about the big gas guzzlers up in the sky instead of 19 races with 22 cars? Please!
Hey, just reduce every race by 10 laps. Nobody's going to notice. I mean, we can have a time cap, you know, 1 hour and 15 minutes, which is what it takes to finish Monza Grand Prix. I'll tell you, long, long time ago, I think it's over 100 years ago, a 10-year-old Italian boy with his papa, Papito, went to a race, a road race, not even at the Bahrain International Circuit. And he heard these, whatever cars they were in those days, Bugattis or Alfa Romeos, and he would many years later say that the sensation he felt as a 10-year-old from the roar of those engines, he had never experienced anything before or since. Hey, what was the name of this bambino?
El Bambino, I think it's maybe...
Signor Enzo Ferrari.
See, well, okay. Yeah, but Mario Andretti used to talk about his time when he was a kid on the fence at Monza.
Yes, watching Ascari.
That was the whole thing.
The sound is what got me, man, listening to the 1973 Le Mans 24-hour race and Robin Richards going, Matra, Ferrari, Matra. These cars are going to sound, Clark, I'm telling you, like, as much as I like Formula One, if they are going to sound in a year or two before I kick the Coleman bucket, like an Audi sports car or a Peugeot 908 that I saw at Le Mans, then I will have to go to seriously to Reno Air Races or Pomona drag races to get my sound fix.
That's true. And you know what else? It's pretty soon the V10s will be reaching an age where they'll be showing up at the historics. Formula One races. So I say we have something to look forward to. We'll have to stick with the vintages.
Yeah, it's like talking to this driver, Brian Redman, some years ago, and he's heavily involved in historics. And he said, you know, I don't follow present sports car in Formula One. The cars don't look like it. I mean, look at these sports cars now, you know, how much stuff they have on them. This is maybe the anti-motor racing crusaders have taken over for FIA. I don't know. I'm not liking what I'm seeing, nor I like what I'm hearing.
Yes, and
so
you know
we
what?
Have a problem.
And I agree. And I've seen a lot of commentary before the season started on one of the biggest motorsports websites, autosports.com. And all it was capitulation. All they were saying is accept it. We can't change it. This is what we got. Quit crying and quit complaining. Well, you know what? I'm not the kind of guy that's going to stop crying and stop complaining. I'm going to start complaining right here on podcast 651. This is an insult to all F1 fans.
I agree. And I'll tell you, I've also read from a lot of journalists, and this is where I have a problem in today's, what a lot of, long time ago when this Sports Illustrated wrote a very insulting article about NASCAR, they had threatened to pull their... Actually, they had pulled their credentials and all the journalists got up in arms. Hey, we won't come also. But my feeling is reading... I go through a lot of different websites and read different journalists' opinion. I think they really do not express their opinion for the fear of losing their credentials or access to certain people. This is just my take. Because sometimes, you know, you hear them say something, then gradually... it changes. So, you know, you're right. I agree with you. We're pissed. We don't like this sound. These cars are fugly. Not even ugly. They are fugly. We want
justice.
We want justice. We want some heads to roll on Palais de la Concorde.
Exactly. And I'll be knocking on the door. And I want to know why Jean Todt is spending too much time having lunch over at Maxime's and not addressing the fans' issues.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you have it. Anyway, interesting race.
You look at it's just the whole thing, you know. We don't have a Grand Prix in France. German Grand Prix is on its last legs. We're talking about a Grand Prix in Azerbaijan. You got to be kidding me.
It's exciting.
How about in the land of Fangio and Reutemann? If you look, there's a website, Circuits of the World or something like that. Clark, I'm telling you, you will not believe how many racing tracks they have in Argentina. Unbelievable number of tracks. So there is a lot of passion there, you know. But they want to go to Bahrain and China, and nobody's showing up. It's very sad what has happened here, but I read a comment from one of the top head honchos for the Malaysian circuit, and because of what has happened there with the airline tragedy, they are saying, you know, Malaysia is in no mood for the Grand Prix. And so, you know, it's just the whole thing. I think it's the CVC thing. It's just, it's been hijacked by a few self people with their own agenda.
I agree. I believe it has been hijacked, and we'll see what happens. But I believe that attendance at Grand Prix will drop because the excitement, the roar of those engines is lost now, because everything, they sound like sports cars.
Yeah.
It's really boring.
And I read a comment, you know, I think yesterday, all the events for Formula E are sold out. Wow, new technology, green world, this and that. Oh, wait a minute. How long will this last? That's what I want to see. And I really want to see some kid 20 years down the road say, man, I became a Formula One engineer or a driver because I want to see a Formula E race. Man, they were whispering. It's like the cockroach 500. Tarantulas running around making... It's really bad.
Well, this is the future. Maybe we're stuck in the past, Nast, and we'll take the criticism where it falls right here at F1Weekly.com. I don't give a damn. I am not happy with what's going on. But anyway, your thoughts on the Australian Grand Prix. We had a little rain for qualifying. That added a little extra zest to the whole thing. Certainly... you have to be impressed with Ferrari in practice, looking great. Fernando Alonso goes to the top.
As always.
Kimi Raikkonen, who's el numero uno.
Yeah, exactly. And, well, you know, I'm very happy the season is on, you know.
Oh, I am. I have to admit, I'm still a fan.
Yes, of course. When the season is on, the birds are chirping in the park, pigs are flying. The only thing is the engines are not roaring, but we've had enough of that talk already. So I was very excited, and it's a great town. I believe it's original JB who was at the track presenting from F1 Weekly, and I really appreciate his reportage. It's very good for our family members to go there and share their experiences with other listeners, you know, on the forum. So many thanks to him.
Yes, no, outstanding stuff. The big surprise in practice on Friday was Lewis Hamilton stopping on track dead when everybody thought the Mercedes would be super dependable and it would be a Renault stuck on track. Now, don't get me wrong, the Renaults had their problems, and one of the biggest teams that I think is on the lam, and that's Lotus F1.
They
didn't have the money to finish the car on time to get to the first practice, and they looked terrible in the race. They couldn't finish, 23 laps, I think, maximum? Piss poor performance from a team that lacks finances. Pastor Maldonado is shaking his head going, no, not again, as he sees Valtteri Bottas screaming up the field in his Williams Mercedes.
Yes, even Romain Grosjean, who's a pretty cool cat, he was also grumbling. And you know, Friday practice is Friday practice, but I was surprised to see Nando on top of the timesheet after free practice one, and so was the appearance of both Williams and no Mercedes in the top five. I really thought, like you said, Mercedes would be the star from get-go. LCH came through to get the pole, which was very, very impressive.
It was very exciting, but we almost expect it from LCH because LCH is almost the pole meister.
I thought that was Danica Patrick.
It was Danica Patrick. I apologize, but that's a different pole.
Yeah, and different track. You know, lately Nico Rosberg has been doing very good, so I was kind of surprised to see LCH get on pole, but quite a few pole position in his career now, which is very impressive.
Yes, he surpassed Nigel Mansell.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Brits love that stuff.
But this time I didn't hear last time when Sebastian Vettel passed one of his landmarks. Somebody said on the one of the crew members, good evening, Mr. Mansell.
That's very true. Very true. Very great qualifying. I enjoyed it. I love it when it's wet. Of course, we've got new Pirelli compounds that really nobody knows anything about. But I was very impressed from the beginning was, for me, Daniel Ricciardo. A lot of pressure. It's his home Grand Prix. It's his first Grand Prix with a top team. He's pretty tough. He's doing what Mark Webber couldn't do on the podium.
Yes, I was thinking maybe he should have called out to after he was second, right?
Correct.
Before they disqualified him, he should have said, "Not bad for a number one driver."
He should have. But see, he's not Mark Webber. No more. He's not going to complain until later on. And I find very interesting how, remember last year, all the bad luck was Mark Webber. If there was mechanical issues, it was Mark Webber. Vettel up at the front, Mark Webber starting 22nd. The first race, and all of a sudden everything's changed. Vettel has the bad karma, and I know what's going on.
No, some years ago in the first two races he had some issues.
That's true, but that was years ago. Four championships in the world.
But let me tell you, Daniel Ricciardo, or however you want to say that name, finishing, qualifying very well, that just tells me, I know there's a lot of irrational exuberance at the misery of Sebastian Vettel, but man, do not count this kid.
Oh no, I wouldn't count him out.
Number five is not out.
No, number five is not out, and I'm looking forward to that battle, because once Red Bull sorts out some of these bugs...
Even if by race eight... Okay, because we're going to have like 19, right? If by race 8 he manages to win a race, watch out.
No, I agree. No, it's going to be exciting. And also...
But one moment, please, as you're talking about Danny Boy.
No, Danny Boy.
Danny Boy has some experience. He was on home ground. He was the top team, and he is very good. But the man, two youths who impressed me were Kevin Magnussen and Daniel Kvyat.
Exactly.
Wow.
I know. Wow. Kevin Magnussen's first Grand Prix at a track that he's never driven on. Who did that remind you of? Lewis Hamilton, Canada.
And many other places.
Yes. Very impressive. This young man is going to the top. And it's interesting because Peter Nygaard published his book in the nick of time.
Exactly.
I think he's a marketing genius.
I think he's doing a second print now.
That was outstanding. The other thing,
Kevin
that
was fourth on his Grand Prix debut, you know?
Yeah.
And Kvyat was on the fourth row. I mean, I was like, wow. I mean, weather conditions.
Well, that's the whole thing. How could Toro Rosso, who's running pretty much the same package, the same gearbox, the same fuel delivery system as Red Bull, and have it so together with really no... As a matter of fact, they had it so well together... They were not really in the limelight during the weekend, except for when they finished in both the points, 9th and 10th.
Both these kids, Kvyat and Magnussen, you know, if you're running, and Ricciardo also, if you're running in the top three, that is intense pressure. And these people did not make major mistakes that somebody could capitalize. That was very impressive. I is impressed.
Not only that, but obviously... Ron Dennis was impressed because he was literally giggling in the paddock.
Yes, there was a young lady with
was
him.
Was it the ladies or was it Kevin?
No, there was one. No, there was one lady with him. He's in good company.
He is in good company, and he was pretty cheerful.
Yeah.
So whatever happened, he likes being back at the top.
Well, you know, his comment was, "We will win again, and that's happening soon."
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
And since Kevin did so well, and your song was so well liked, I think we need to. Encore of Old Man Button.
Old Man Button, that old man Button, he knows something, but he says nothing.
Thank you, that's very good.
Yeah, Swanee River's next.
Yes, so, you know, it's just a great start to a season, and I think there will be a little shuffling. There's no rain and all that kind of stuff. We might see some change of order, but... I would like to see Ferrari a little bit more competitive.
Obviously. I mean, come on. I wanted to see... Ferrari could be such a problem that we may not see the cage rattling because they've already come out and said that Raikkonen... And this really reminded me of Rubens Barrichello. Remember the brake issue Rubens Barrichello used to have?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Well, apparently, Kimi Raikkonen is not comfortable in the car. Gee, I wonder why. Let me see. The team is built around this Spanish guy. From Oviedo.
See.
What did you think was going to happen? They were going to bring up the 2007?
We'll see, you know. No, I think they will sort it out. And
oh, they will sort it out. But the problem is it'll be race 15. And Domenicali is going to be going around going, I've got to buy another television set for Montezemolo. It's going to be, you know, if you don't come out on the first race and look somewhat dominant, Williams looked more dominant than Ferrari, even though Kamui Kobayashi did a bonsai.
on Massa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. Because
which I was expecting from Pastor Maldonado.
Exactly. Pastor Maldonado and Massa, they had that bonding thing going on.
Yeah.
But still, I thought it was very fascinating. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. And yeah, Bottas made a mistake. He could have been on the podium. The car looked very good.
The car looked fantastic. Very, yeah. I mean, if he didn't hit that wall and get that puncture, he would have been on the podium.
Yeah.
I mean, he was bonkers.
Yeah. And you know that livery from Martini, I mean, it's very attractive, but somehow it's too much white. Too much white. And when they were showing the onboard camera and those stripes.
The stripes, yeah.
Oh, that was freezing for me.
That was good, but there is too much white. I want to see bigger Martini stickers, Martini Rossi, bigger stripes on the
Asti
side of the
Spumanti.
As exactly. The whole works. Bottas was outstanding. Kamui Kobayashi did come out and apologize.
Oh, he did one of our favorites. I'm sorry.
So sorry. Yes, yeah. Kamui apologizing really to the world.
Yeah.
But what can you do?
I mean, these things will happen.
I know, but still, you know what? Instead of worrying about winning races at Caterham, making those big announcements, why don't we just start the race and get a couple laps in?
Yeah, and then try to finish it.
Exactly!
In the top 10 and get...
Yes, so there you have it. You know, it's funny. Let's calm down. Maybe have a couple of shots of sake. Take it easy, Boudreaux. I mean, he's not even getting paid.
Yeah.
So, that's my tip of the day. And still, once again, I thought... Caveat, Magnussen, and Magnussen's father was so excited.
While Kevin was racing in Australia, his papito was racing in Florida at Sebring, and Jan must be very proud of his son, who is now the first ever Danish driver to reach the podium in Formula One racing, and I am sure there is a lot more to come from this Danish dude. Sometimes in life, you are basically forced into looking into the rearview mirror. Jan Magnussen, I remember when this comment was made, when he was in the British F3 Championship, I believe it was 94, he won 14 races from 18 starts. And the Wii scored Jackie Stewart. So Jackie Stewart called him a talent greater than Ayrton Senna. because he was so dominant in the British F3. And British F3 used to be very strong in those days. But on the other hand, Ron Dennis called Jan the greatest disorganized driver he had ever seen. And I remember when this comment was made, apparently at an airport counter, and Jan opened his bag, and according to Dennis, it was like packed by a 14-year-old. Everything was thrown. And then Jan was looking for his passport. So these things happen. But I'm very happy things have worked out for this family. And it's interesting. You know, it's amazing how the career of racing driver Cecil Clark. I saw a news item that James Calado, a British driver, is now going into World Endurance Championship. A few years ago, he had come through the system very impressively, backed by Racing Steps Foundation. And what was really, really impressive, in his first year in GP2, he was teammate to Esteban Gutierrez. He was all set to go to Formula One, and he did a more impressive job in his first year in GP2 than Esteban in his second year. And I thought, this kid is going places for sure. But for some reason, the second year done blowed up kind of thing. Kevin Magnussen, first year in World Series by Renault, not so good. Second year dominating, and now he has put his USDA stamp of approval.
Well, not only that, but skipping GP2, a lot of people go from Formula 3.5 Renault to GP2. He did not. And we'll see what happens. We might see more people skip GP2 depending on finances.
Every young, you know, we go and talk to quite a few young people. Every time I'm talking to a young kid who's coming up and is showing a lot of talent, I don't tell the kid, but his peeps, mama, papa, or manager, whatever, I always say, don't come to GP2 unless you do a season or two of World Series. The main reason is the way things have turned out. You know, Kubica did not came from World Series by Renault. Sebastian Vettel, they never did GP2. But the problem now in GP2, if you come, the only way you can be picked up by a Formula One team is if you dominate for a season like LCH. Because, you know, now Stefano Colletti is again doing GP2 for like fourth or fifth time. Felipe Nasr is in his third year. So you have Alexander Rossi will be in his second year. And Raffaele Marcello, man, if this kid can beat these people, then I'll say, man, this guy, I mean, I don't have to say that. It'll speak for itself.
Right.
So that's the issue there with GP2 and World Series by Renault.
Keep up the good work, Nas. Anyway, great stuff. Of course, Lewis Hamilton is out on the first lap. Vettel is out a few laps later, suffering. And Ricciardo is kicking ass. Very impressive stuff. That car looked fantastic. And their aerodynamic package is top-notch. Red Bull will be fighting for the championship this year for sure. It's going to be dependent on how well Ricciardo fights Vettel once Vettel gets up to speed and gets all those bugs sorted. And the other thing I thought was pretty impressive was both Toro Rosso's. I mean, those guys have done an outstanding job, and those young drivers. And you know what? I think Tost over at Toro Rosso is probably patting himself on the back, getting rid of drivers, bringing in new talent. And it's impressive.
Yeah, you know, like I had mentioned, and even Peter Nygaard, when we interviewed him last time, he mentioned when I saw Kvyat at Jerez, I mean, the guy just was walking around talking to people, and I even saw him address some sponsors' guests. He just, like, feels at home, and that is very, very important. And it's the same thing with Jean-Éric Vergne. You know, when he came from whatever series to GP3, he just felt very comfortable, and he only did a race or two in GP3. So I think if you have a lot of self-confidence, not cockiness and arrogance, then, you know, you're going to have good results.
Yeah, Vergne did an outstanding job in this Grand Prix. My favorite moment, lap 8, when Valtteri Bottas passed Kimi Raikkonen. Versus Finn.
Yeah, Finn attack.
Finn attack. That was exciting. The roar of the Williams paddock. Finally, Williams has something to get excited about.
Yeah, and Bottas' girlfriend is very easy on the ice, as David Letterman would say.
I absolutely agree.
And she's like a Olympic swimmer for the Finnish national team or something like that. And he's a very good kid. I was so impressed. You know, the guy has made it to Formula One. He was talking to me and a couple of people who I had met there at the track. And this was very nice to have a, you know, guy not Formula One going to his head.
Absolutely.
Do you remember what Elio Castroneves said to us when we tried to interview him?
Let me see.
Talk to my manager.
Yeah, tough guy.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And now look at us. We don't even bother with those guys anymore. What a fool. But no, a great...
LCH dropping a cylinder was very disappointing.
It was, because usually... I like how Nico Rosberg took command.
Oh, yes. Very impressive.
Took the lead, kept the lead, and machoed.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about it.
And they're so evenly talented that... one mistake, or one bad motor, or one bad piston, or one bad champion spark plug, or whatever they use.
Well, this is where Nico will have the edge, I think, because they have a very good package to start the season. LCH can be self-destructive, and that's what I'm concerned about, his championship run.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. For me, Nico all the way for World Championship this year.
You know, it might be two Germans.
It could be two Germans. Now,
It could be like Rommel versus, you know, Göring. I don't know.
Yeah. Caterham having a lot of issues with Marcus Ericsson. The car was dying. Engine oil pressure, I guess, on lap 28. Kimi Raikkonen locking up the wheels on lap 35. He finished 8th, well, eventually 7th, because he moved up because of the fine, or should I say, disqualification of Ricciardo.
You know, what is this?
Which was really a pisser for me.
For me, what is this, you know? Okay, first you're going to get X number of... liters or whatever, gallons or whatever.
100 kilograms.
Okay, fine, thank you. And then you're going to measure what the flow...
the flow rate is.
You know, why don't they start checking into the rotation of tires? You know, if a wheel spins like 3 times more, that's burning more rubber, and that's creating the, you know, problem for the trees, and we're going to lose the world.
What I didn't like, what I thought was the most unfair thing is Daniel Ricciardo, he has no control of what that team is doing with those flow meter sensors. He drove a great race, the team, they should have removed the Constructors' Championship points from the team, but the driver should have kept those points.
Exactly.
This is ridiculous, and I don't know who's in charge at the FIA, but I would talk to him very, very soon. That was really a pisser. Not only that, but you have to have some latitude in the first Grand Prix under these immense rule changes. You have to say, okay, by the third race, there will be zero tolerance.
Rules should be rules, and no problem there. But if there's an infraction, I mean, you don't penalize the guy with such a great drive. You know, it's a pisser for fans also.
That's what I'm saying, especially in Australia.
Yeah, And what you do is take away the points, hit them where it hurts. And that this way, you know, you don't get the points. I mean, I hate to say this to you, finding one team in possession of data from one team, another team is $100 million, and the other one just slap on the
now,
wrist.
Now, I understand, but the problem is with Red Bull, a financial fine means nothing because they just have too much money. So, yeah. Like I said, the Constructors' Championship points should have been pulled. The driver should have been left alone because his drive was impeccable.
Yeah, very impressive. And this is what we want.
Exactly. This is what we want. And this is what the fans want. Because really, the Drivers' Championship is very, very important for these young men. But especially...
They're not interested in fans. They're interested in CVC, and they're getting ready to unload the thing, so they want to find the next billion-dollar player, you know?
I agree. It was a great race. I enjoyed it until they disqualified Ricciardo. I really enjoyed the podium. I thought that was great. And Jenson Button had a good race. McLaren looked fantastic. Kevin Magnussen on the podium.
Two podiums.
Rosberg.
True drivers whose Papito used to be in Formula One.
It's very impressive.
Just shows how old we are now.
That's very true.
Yeah.
But still, it's good that the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree occasionally.
Yes.
We have sayings like that for
the
a reason.
The wind is saying, Leo Mansell, Nicola Prost.
Leo Mansell is looking at the birds.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
He's a birder.
He's a birder.
Yeah, that's what they're called. Just a bird watching.
But I, you know what? I'm sure Red Bull will be up to full steam soon. But I will not be surprised if the championship is between two German drivers.
It's very possible. It could be very exciting.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
And the double points in Abu Dhabi will make the difference.
And let's study. Listen, don't even bring up the double points. I mean, we've got vacuum cleaners. We've got hideous cars. Please. No double point.
I'm not making this up. About a year or two ago, there was a race. I think it was one of the NASCAR races. It was called like Suck Up 250. Maybe they should get that as a sponsor for Formula One. The Suck Up Hoover Formula One Championship.
Well, Hoover should definitely get on board. Somebody. Dyson. Anyway, so there you have it. Any high points for you in the race?
Well, I'm very excited. The season is on. Very good. Very impressive drive by Daniel Ricciardo or Ricciardo. And also very, very impressed by Kevin Magnussen, Daniel Kvyat also. I'm very happy that Mercedes has a good package. I want to see a good fight. So it's all good, and we definitely want to see Ferrari a little bit.
We've got to see Fernando. If Fernando doesn't win a world championship this year, what's going to happen at Ferrari?
It's very, very, it will be very sad.
It's going to be very sad. If they can't provide him, because obviously we know he's got the skill.
Does that car, you know, like they say in racing, if a car looks fast, it will go fast. Does that car look fast to you?
It looks funky.
Yes.
I mean, that's the other thing. The cars aren't really that fast.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking, you know, high GP2 times.
Yeah, here. If Formula One was an, you know, like A1 GP series and every nation has a car, that car would have been something I would expect from Team Romania or Team Russia, Soviet Union. You know what I'm saying? It's pretty sad. And it's rare, so it would have gone, the color would have gone down very well. But it's sad how these cars have turned.
I think the worst thing is when we get the Spa and they're going to hit Eau Rouge going...
No, they're a little bit louder than that.
Yeah, a little bit. But Eau Rouge, even a couple of years ago when the V8s came out, Massa said, it's flat out and you can have a sandwich at the same time. When the V10s,
yeah, the scream was the ice cream,
and
it's gone.
They were going so fast on Eau Rouge, 2004, 2005, and the compression of hitting that hill and the V10 and the speed was machismo. Yeah. That is gone forever, Nasser. That is gone forever. These cars are going to sound silly. People at Spa will be picketing out front.
Wow,
it's either that or large Marshall stacks with amplification of V10s.
Yeah, times are changing, Clark.
Is that it? We're going to become grumpy old men?
Yes, I think we already are.
That's for sure.
And this edition is the proof.
No, I guess you're right. I mean, is it possible?
We'll have to suck it up.
I'm not sucking it up.
No, nor am I. Because my litmus test will be, Because right now GP2 makes very good sound.
It does.
And my real test would be next time I go to a Formula One race at Jerez. You know, I was excited to be there. Dr. Miguel was there. We're having a good time. The sound was, it was noticeable to me. I mean, to me, that's the main attraction. I'm not interested in the kind of valves they are using. I'm not a technical guy.
Formula Renault 3.5 liter.
Yeah.
Is a good sounding car.
Yeah. Even the,
and those races are free.
And GP3 car, new engine, sounds very good. The racing car has to sound. You know, I remember some years ago, I think it was the Spanish Grand Prix. I watched the GP3. It was, I think, the first year of GP3 cars. Those cars with the Renault turbo engine. And yes, it was a Renault turbo engine. They sounded like a flock of Bataan mosquitoes. Really, really.
Well, that reminds me of the Formula BMW.
No. That was the GP3. And then right after that was the Formula BMW race using a BMW motorcycle engine. I mean, this sounded much better than the GP3 engine. So sound, like size matters for some people, sound matters for more. I would hate to come to the conclusion that, you know, a Formula One race is not exciting me. That'll be a very sad day in my life.
Well,
but there was the Reno Air Races, the Pomona Drag Racing, and other forms of
racing. So we're going to depend on Spitfires.
Spitfire, Hurricane, or Mustang, whatever. Wow. Mustang Sally.
Wow.
So,
but no, you know what I'm thinking? I think they're slowly trying to convert everybody. The sound is going to get lower and lower.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be Formula E.
Yeah. Psst. Yeah. Might as well watch, you know, a flock of cockroaches running around.
Well, I'm going to stick with a flock of seagulls.
Yeah. I ran so far away from Formula One. Couldn't get away.
So, yeah, so there you have it. Any motorsports in the world you want to
Well, this is, there was a Sebring race, and there was, you
Who
know,
Garrett. Race? Oh, Chip Ganassi.
Chip Ganassi's team. Scott, hi to my family, Pruitt.
I mean, when is Scott Pruitt going to retire? Is he going to become the Mark Martin of...
he already is.
Pretty much. He's like, what, 50?
Maybe. He must be 50 plus. Yeah,
so.
He must be.
But he's a local Sacramento kid.
Yeah, he is. Him and Willie T. Reeves were both from Northern California, and they came through the system same time, had tremendous, tremendous battles, and it was great to see those days. You know, Gary Bettenhausen was from the Tony Bettenhausen family. He passed away, some sad news there, raced at Indy many
yeah,
times.
Yeah, he wasn't even that old.
Yeah, he was in his 70s.
Oh, really?
And
okay.
His brother, Tony Bettenhausen, used to own a racing team, was also a driver. He, Tony Bettenhausen Jr., of course, and he was killed in a plane crash some years ago. The NASCAR race at Bristol, Tennessee, was won by Carl Edwards. So that's the main stuff there, and now we have to wait for round two. But it's always a good feeling when the Formula One season is on.
Absolutely.
Sound or no sound.
But we have 2 weeks for Malaysia, and we know how hot it's going to be there.
I was there last year, man. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable heat, high humidity, and of course, the biggest problem with all these cars is cooling. It takes twice the cooling effort than last year's V8s. So it's unbelievable what the can of worms we have opened with these new rules. But there you have it. This is what we got. But I'm still going to whine all year long and complain about it until we get Matra V12s back or something.
Yeah, they have to do something. You know,
something's got to be done.
This is ridiculous.
And
you can imagine how it would have been had they stick with V4.
Oh,
I mean, I'm sorry,
four
V4.
Cylinder.
Like four-cylinder engine.
Yes. The other thing is the FIA has already looked into, is talking about changing the rules because of the ugliness of the nose.
Yeah, no kidding.
You all. So let's hope that the ugliness, the fugliness of the nose goes away, and maybe they'll say, you know what, you're right, 747s do spend a lot of fuel and make a lot of pollution. Why don't we just go back to big V12s and V10s? It ain't going to make no difference.
And let's put on some JBL speakers on every car. Let's get the sound back, man.
I want the sound back. So there you have it. That's my tip for Jean-Tuc. Let's get the sound back. Let's get fast-looking cars going fast.
Exactly.
So
motor racing, the way motor racing is motor racing. This is not an exercise in trying to save the world or go to the Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden is already here. It's called Spa-Francorchamps.
Exactly. So there you have it. Quickly, we do have some forum activity, if you know what I'm talking about.
50 ways to leave your lover.
50 ways to leave your lover is back in town. So what I'm going to do is see if we could pull it up here. I'm always a little late and a dollar short. Let's pull up 50 words on the Australian Grand Prix 2014. Okay, from Kehe Sin. After all the alarms of testing, Red Bull do well. Just not the one we expected. Meanwhile, we have two sons of F1 drivers on the podium, which is new. My, Alan Jones has changed, hasn't he? From Ye, fresh-looking podium, watch out when a pussycat accepts your marriage proposal. From Dr. Mark Farrington, dull old race and so predictable. A, cage rattling throughout the grid, reliability better than many had expected, and great results for Ricciardo and Magnussen. Boullier makes his impact, with Jenson Button benefiting from the first good strategy calls the team's made for 5 years. Well done, Merck and Nico. From Leon Bray, five cars known to have problems before the race, 14 finished, which was better than half the field. And the youngsters shone through. Interesting to see the sons of two Formula F1 drivers on the podium. Now that F1 management has dumbed down the graphics from the cars, deleted the sector times from the live timing, we have even less information to work out how each team is approaching the race.
There you go.
The cars are becoming more technically advanced and F1 management is still in the dark ages. Makes the TV coverage less interesting if you can't look at strategy and performance data. And it still sounds like a lawnmower racing. The V8s at the local Trans Am race were more exciting to watch. Original JB says, lucky enough to be there to see it all unfold. I can't condense it to 50 words, so I took 1,000 photos. Finally, an Australian makes it to the podium. Viva Australia. 2014 is far from being set in stone. Thank goodness. And Miguel says, Formula fuel economy is not worth 50 words. Outcomes were interesting. Getting there was boring. Balls out in SoCal, and we hadn't heard from Balls out in SoCal in a while. Hadn't seen Alan Jones in years. He, like us all, I'm afraid, has changed a lot with the years. In my humble opinion, great to see the season start with an interesting race, even though Nico was off the front easily. The race was still more entertaining than over half of last year's races by far, if only for the question marks we all had and watching it all play out. Kind of a ridiculous fuel flow penalty that hits Ricciardo. One has to wonder how many more issues like these will hit others. And we still don't know if Ricciardo actually used more than 100 kilograms of fuel in the race, or just used too much per hour for some part of the race. Let's see, Neon Zapper. The noses and six-cylinder engines weren't the big issue during the first race, but what a shock with the fuel issue result. And Leon Bray says, response from the Australian motoring press before Ricciardo's disqualification, the sound of the cars was dreadful. The racing was somnolent, and the spectacle completely underwhelming. F1 authorities, along with the teams, have to urgently address the failings of the radical new regulations that have neutered much of the car's traditional visceral appeal. Andrew Westacott, Australian Grand Prix Corporation chief executive, said that the rule changes had impacted on the sexiness of the event, and as a result, fans did not get what they paid for. Now that's a really good point, Nasser. I like the sexiness is gone. Left Turn says, Lewis and Seb don't get to play. Bottas thrills, spills, and recovers like a champ. K-Mag is the new Hamilton, shows his raw speed and drives an excellent race. Ricciardo puts in a mature drive only to have it snatched away through bad decisions by the team. Jackson, impressed by Magnussen, exciting to see shake up in the podium. It's going to be interesting to see the driver's progression and handling the cars. It's definitely going to be an exciting first half of the season. So there you have it. Lots of 50 words. Lots of people saying that it's stinko in terms of sound, but we do like the racing between the individuals. We just want faster and more exciting Formula One cars. Also, I thought that Boullier did an outstanding job over at McLaren. He will fill those positions quite well. I think he'll become principal, but we'll see what happens.
Yes, time will tell.
Time will tell. And I think Lotus F1's in big trouble. And Pastor Maldonado and all the oil dollars, I don't think that's going to turn that around.
Well, he said it was the best decision he made. And look how Williams is going now.
Yeah. So there you have it. Any final thoughts and predictions for Malaysia?
I think there will be more Mercedes-powered cars on the podium. I would like to see Sebastian Vettel not run away with the race, but at least be competitive and fight for a race. And that should be good. And I would like to see, you know, these young ones, Kevin Magnussen and Daniel Kvyat, keep up the good work, to borrow a phrase from you. So that's what I'm looking forward to, sir.
My prediction? Felipe Massa wins in Malaysia.
Wow, very impressive.
You're welcome. I want to thank all the listeners. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.